The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service. Welcome to those of you here in church. Welcome also to those joining us via the live stream and those who will connect by telephone later. In our service today, we'll be thinking about words and deeds, the fact that as Christians, our words are important, but they must also be backed up by our actions. There are just two announcements. First of all, to say a sincere thank you to our glebe wardens and team of workers who carried out the work in the church grounds last week. It was a job well done. They're looking great, so thank you very much indeed. And then our services next Sunday are at the usual times, morning prayer at 11 o'clock and evening prayer at 7. And so as we gather to worship, we stand to sing our opening hymn, Jesus, Where'er Thy People Meet. Service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning's psalm is a thanksgiving psalm in which all people are called upon to praise God. We read together Psalm 66, verses 1 to 8. Be joyful. Be joyful in God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies shall bow before you. All the earth shall worship you, sing to you, sing praise to your name. Come now and behold the works of God, how wonderful he is in his dealings with humankind. He turned the sea into dry land, the river they passed through on foot. There we rejoiced in him. In his might he rules forever. His eyes keep watch over the nations. Let no rebel rise up against him. Bless our God, O you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, who holds our souls in life and suffers not our feet to slip. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please be seated for our Old Testament reading. The Old Testament lesson is written in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Here ends our Old Testament reading. Our next hymn reminds us that it's not enough to simply hear the word of God. He wants us to act, to serve him and to serve each other. We sing, I, the Lord of sea and sky.
Thank you.
Please be seated. The New Testament lesson is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Here ends our New Testament reading. And in response to our reading, we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn encourages us to take what we have heard from the Lord and then teach others also. We sing, Lord, speak to me that I may speak. God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage. For Christ's sake, amen. I think it's true to say that there are some things that happen to us that leave a permanent mark on our lives. We're never the same again. Sadly, some of these life-changing things have a negative impact on our lives. For example, a young soldier returned from Afghanistan, moody, easily angered, often withdrawn, and difficult to deal with. Before Afghanistan, he was a friendly, well-liked person. But what he experienced in the war dramatically changed him. On the other hand, there are events and there are people who change our lives in a positive way. The 12 disciples accompanied Jesus as he went around teaching from village to village. They were there on the boat when he calmed the storm. They were there when he healed the leper. They were there when he brought Jairus' daughter back to life. Having seen and heard so much, they would never be the same again. And then this morning in our gospel reading, we hear of Jesus sending out 72 others with the same task, to witness to everything they had seen and heard about Jesus and the kingdom of God. There were three points that Jesus made when he sent out his disciples. First of all, they were to travel light. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Jesus wanted his disciples to be concerned about nothing else but the mission that he was sending them on. He didn't want them to be weighed down by gathering together extra provisions or additional clothing. They were to be single-minded in their mission. Their task was plain and simple. They were sent out to meet the needs of other people, just as Jesus did. Now, traveling light meant that the 72 missionaries had to trust God for their daily needs. Jesus was telling them to be like the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, who do not rely on their own resources to survive, but only on the goodness of God. They were to rely on the God-given hospitality of those they visited. Do you see what Jesus is doing here with those he is sending out? He is demonstrating the vital link between faith and action. He is saying to them, you aren't being sent out to just tell people about faith in the living God, but you are being sent out to also show them what happens in your life when you really believe and trust. If you tell people about having faith in Jesus, about trusting God, and then live a life that demonstrates just the opposite, you will hardly be believed. And you know, the situation hasn't changed one bit for us today. I wonder how many times a week, indeed how many times a day, our witness to our faith in Christ is weakened, is even brought to nothing, because we fail to recognize the link that our faith has with our actions. Our actions can so easily deny our faith in Jesus. I'm sure there have been times when you have reflected on a certain way that you've behaved with a great deal of shame. I know I have. In reflection, it is clear that the way we have acted has been so contrary to what we know Christ would expect of us. Putting it simply, sin gets in the way. It is easy to confess our faith in Jesus one moment and then deny that same faith by our un-Christ-like behavior. By telling the 72 missionaries not to worry about food and clothing, but to trust in God, Jesus is telling them to not just tell people about faith, but let their listeners see in their lives what it means to trust God, even for simple things like food and clothes. Jesus then goes on to give them another instruction. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. In other words, he is telling the disciples to accept whatever accommodation is offered to them. and not go shopping around for something better. The disciples should not be burdened with accommodation arrangements. Jesus tells them simply to accept whatever is offered and get on with the task he has given them of telling the good news about Jesus. I mean, can you imagine the offense it would cause if the disciples changed homes because they were dissatisfied? They would really get off on the wrong foot if they started to pick and choose between homes. And all this leads to an underlying point. The gospel is shared within a relationship situation. The gospel is shared within a relationship situation. The disciples were to stay for a while with the one family and in the one community. Get to know people. Be concerned about their cares and their needs. They were not to be fly-by-night evangelists, here today, gone tomorrow. This wasn't the kind of evangelism where you give a quick message at the front door. Jesus knew that for many people it takes a long time to grasp the meaning and the importance of the gospel for their lives. And so the disciples are encouraged to not only talk about the love of Jesus, but also be the love of Jesus in the community they were visiting. Again, he is saying, get to know people, and through your friendship with them, let people see how your faith really makes a difference in your life. Let them witness for themselves the gospel in action through everything you say and do. More often than not, actions speak louder than words. And again, the situation is no different today. You can imagine how effective our witness would be if we said to someone, God loves you, my friend, and wants you in his family. But I'm not interested in knowing that your mother is seriously ill, or that you're unemployed and really finding it hard, or that you are a stranger in the church and feeling pretty lost. You know, as hard as we find it in ourselves to love some people, and some people are difficult, unless we do so, we will do nothing but hinder God's work here in some way. Again, Jesus is saying that along with the gospel of love go actions of love. When Jesus sent out the 72 men to share the gospel, he gave them a specific message to tell. They were to say clearly, the kingdom of God has come near. God has provided an answer to the trouble that plagues your life. God has sent Jesus to bring salvation. As Christians, we spend a lot of time listening to people, listening to their problems and being sympathetic to their situations, and Jesus encourages us to do this. But through our listening and our speaking, the troubled person needs to hear from us, Jesus loves you. He died on a cross for you. Of course, that's something we all need to hear again and again. And when we hear those words, your sins are forgiven, this revitalizes our desire to share with others through word and deed the same joy that we experience when we hear of the love and forgiveness of Jesus. And let's not be fooled into thinking that our effort hardly makes a difference in the lives of others. When the 72 disciples returned and made their reports, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. The 72 men must have whispered among themselves, "What's he talking about? We didn't see anything like that." But Jesus saw something they hadn't. When Jesus sends us out, he intends to use us for something big. In our ordinary, everyday lives, Jesus is working out some larger matters. When we look at the church, our church, we see mundane meetings, ordinary folk, unspectacular routine, people with all kinds of trouble. Yet Jesus sees heaven and earth being transformed through us. Jesus commissions us to be part of his revolutionary overthrow of the powers of death and evil. We can't always see it, because as humans we are caught up in the everyday ordinariness of the church. Yet in us, in our meetings, Sunday school classes, bending down to speak to a child, visiting the sick and frail, the reign of God is taking shape. He sends out ordinary people like us to be a signal, a witness that God's kingdom is breaking into the lives of others through us. When we look at our congregation, we see only ordinary folk like you and me. But Jesus looks at us and our witness and says, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." He uses our faith and the witness we give in our daily lives. He uses the joy and peace we have because we have been forgiven. He uses the words we speak at the right time. He uses all of this and more to bring his kingdom into the lives of others. And so, may God richly bless us as we go out from this place this morning in his name. Let us pray. Lord God, you call us, as you call all your people, to go out and proclaim the gospel. You expect us not simply to believe the good news, but also to share it. Forgive us for failing to honor that calling, for being only too ready to come to you, but less willing to go out in your name. Help us to recognize our responsibility towards others, to understand that if we leave it to someone else to tell them about Jesus, they may never hear the good news. Fill us then with new vision and resolve, so that when the opportunity comes to speak for you, we may do so faithfully, honestly, and sensitively. And help us, Lord God, to proclaim the gospel not just through words, but also through deeds, through what we do and who we are, so that others, when they meet us, may meet also with Christ and know his living presence for themselves. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen. And as we think of our world, a world where war and rumors of war continue, let us pray for those in authority, that they may be wise and discerning in their judgments and decisions. Lord Jesus Christ, you came as the Prince of Peace to bring healing to the nations, to overcome hatred with love, evil with good, and darkness with light. Teach us what that means in today's complex and troubled world, where tension and unrest continue to dominate, where violence and the threat of war are all too real. Grant wisdom to the leaders of the nations, to all whose decisions will shape the future of this world. And by your Spirit, break down the barriers that divide us. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen. And as always, in our prayers, we remember the sick either at home or in hospital, any who may be worried or anxious for whatever reason, and those who have been bereaved in recent days. We bring them before God in the quietness. Eternal God, to whom all may come through your Son, lay your healing hand upon those who are sick. Make your loving presence known to those who are lonely. Give your strengthening power to those who are fearful. May those who lack be filled. Those who mourn be comforted. Those who worry be calmed. And those who seek forgiveness find it in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn takes up the theme of our service. We sing, Lord, you give the Great Commission.
Thank you.
It has been good to worship together this morning. We bow our heads now for God's blessing. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our souls. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and abide with us always. Amen. And so to our closing hymn, Go Forth and Tell.